Oh, we're going to talk about embodying the Buddha or being Buddhas. why not? This is the, we'll have to start the waffly So I was thinking about the Satipatthana Sutta being quite sort of apt for the for Buddha week. I'll start reading a few lines so actually I can share. Oh, I can't share. I was going to share something, but I can't. I've disabled because I'm not a host. Never mind. I was going to share a bit of the Satipatthana, but I'm just going to read it. So there is a case where a monk remains focused on the body in and of itself. Ardent, alert, and mindful, putting aside greed and distress with reference to the world. He remains focused on feelings, mind, mental qualities in and of themselves. Ardent, alert, and mindful, putting aside greed and distress with reference to the world. And how does a monk remain focused on the body in and of itself? There is a case where a monk, having gone to the wilderness, to the shade of a tree, or to an empty building, sits down, folding his legs crosswise, holding his body erect, and setting mindfulness to the fore. Always mindful, he breathes in, mindful, he breathes out. Breathing in long, he discerns, I am breathing in long, and breathing it out long, breathing out long, he discerns, I'm breathing out long. He trains himself, I will breathe in, sensitive to the entire body. He trains himself, I will breathe out, sensitive to the entire body. He trains himself, I will breathe in, calming, calming bodily fabrication. So there's quite a bit in just this bit, actually, quite a bit to sort of unpack. And the first difficulty we have is our views about the body. So we, Westerners, we tend to be very dissociated from the body in our culture, which most likely was not the case at the time of the Buddha. We tend to kind of relate to our body as an object. As a kind of vehicle for our brains, we tend to completely identify with our brains, our thoughts. And yeah, and the body being just a kind of way of carrying that brain around, when actually the reality is kind of more the other way around, that the brain is just a part of the body. And thoughts are just a part of our experience. So we have various views about the body as a system, a machine, sort of scientific views, also religious views, that even though we're not religious, maybe, but they've kind of been carried forward in our culture. The way the Dharma works is quite different. It's not asking us to try and find the correct view, which view is more accurate, but to actually go beyond those views, to drop those views. And to look at the body in and of itself. The Buddha is asking us to directly explore the body through our direct experience. So in order to do that, we need to put those views aside. So scientific views and views as well about our bodies being this made of matter here, my physical body here and the inside and then the world out there being completely different. Which is what is referred to in the sutta, that sense of separation is what will create craving and aversion of dukkha. There's my body and me here in there and the world out there. And out there, things are either the way I want them to be or they're not the way I want them to be. So that will kind of create that dukkha, that separation, greed and distress with reference to the world. So before we even start really doing serious Buddhist practice, we can spend some serious time looking at the difference between the experiential body and the conceptual body. And in a way, there's no limit to how much we can do that, really, because our concepts go so deep. Our habit to conceptualize everything is so deep. And we can't just drop those concepts. We can't just get rid of them because we need them. They're useful for being in the world. But we can start to make the difference. We can start to discern the difference between actual experience and conceptual. And I'm sure you're all familiar with that. So let's do a small exercise now to see what I'm talking about. Maybe you can just close your eyes and find a comfortable position. We're not going to be too long. Just tuning into your experience right now and how you experience your body. What is your experience of your body? And how do you go about trying to experience your body? So what do you do? How do you go about experiencing your body? What is your experience? Okay, that's just a quick exercise to kind of get a sense of where we're at. Anyone wants to share something?
Was noticing how I immediately go to tactile sensation. when invited to do that. And I was just exploring whether I had any other senses of my body.
Oh, great.
There's a slight, very slight tinnitus. But yeah, with my eyes shut, otherwise, no, yeah.
I was doing one part, sort of was sensing in the body. So I had the, you know, kind of attention awareness moving around. Where is the sensation in the body, like the bottom of the feet as I'm sitting? And then another part of me was making up a whole conceptual picture of my body.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it can take a while to kind of open to the body, to what the body actually is. Our first reaction, like you said, is that image, the idea that my back is behind me and that it's got this particular shape and that my feet are over there and they've got this particular shape. And they might not even have that actual shape, but in your head, they've got a particular shape. When actually all that we have is sensations, and mostly, yeah, just tactile sensations. There's obviously the other senses as well. But we won't be particularly looking at that today. It's great that, you know, a couple of you made that distinction really clearly, that you're aware there's an image and then you're aware that there's the potential of the actual experience, which is quite different, this kind of cloud of sensations. And so that's what kind of discerning means in the sutta. That's what the Buddha's asking us to do when that word discern is all the way through the sutta. Breathing in long, he discerns. Breathing out long, he discerns. And that word is actually prasana. So anupasana, strongly contemplating or strongly discerning. And that means not conceptualizing. That means it's not a mental activity. It's a direct function of awareness. So the body in and of itself is not that conceptual body, but that direct experience of knowing from awareness. Yeah. So in as much as we do need this concept to function in our everyday life, we also need to kind of put them aside in order to train ourselves to remain in a direct knowing of our experience. So we need to let go of what we think we know, our various learnings and views and all those useful things we learn about our bodies and life and the brain. And I'm very keen on neuroscience, but these are just views at the end of the day. So we need to let go of what we think we know and look for ourselves. And our tendency is always also to kind of look for the most obvious thing, the most obviously unpleasant sensations and the most obviously pleasant sensations, and ignore the kind of neutral, the less obvious thing. So that's relevant. Because it just shows our tendency to look for the most obvious things and not kind of here we have to kind of be broader I'm more receptive. If that makes sense. Yeah, okay. So I'm not one for long Dharma talks. I think that's probably enough. It's quite a lot of it's quite a lot. Maybe I'll just repeat what I've just said. yeah, so I mean that's kind of I was interested in looking at, can we be Buddhas today? Can we actually sit together like Buddhas? And that would be the place to start, really, to get into our direct experience. And in that experience of the body in and of itself, it's free of those fabrications. So we find that the body is empty. We can get in touch with the actual body of the Buddha, the Dharmakaya. I don't know if you're familiar with the Tri Kaya doctrine, the three bodies of the Buddha. So he's got a body, the Nirmanakaya, the one that we can see each other. And it's got a Sambhogakaya, which is the energy body, which is kind of like we call it the bliss body, but it's like a manifesting body, and we'll touch on that. But we'll actually start from the actual emptiness. So we saw that our bodies are not pictures, they're not this kind of solid thing. And we start from that really as the ground, looking at coming directly from awareness in order to look at our bodies and embodying that. And then we'll look at how that manifests, or potentially manifests energetically in the world. So it might be a bit of a longish meditation for us to kind of become effective Buddhas, I hope. Yeah, any questions on that last bit?
No. I noticed right at the end of your reading from the Satipatthana Sutra, I think it was, it said the fabricated body. That's always intrigued me, the Kaya Sankara, the fabricated body.
The calming, the bodily fabrication.
Bodily fabrication, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't particularly researched. I mean, the way I think of that is, yeah, what we make, it's going into that craving and aversion. So what we make of it is being pleasant, unpleasant, our reactivity, and sort of pinning things down into form. So when we look at things as they are, then we can start to calm the dukkha and start to abide in more open, peaceful body without having to kind of react to what's going on in that body. There's always going to be pleasant and unpleasant sensations in a body. The Buddha was not immune to illnesses and aches and pains as he aged. But it's how we react to those as well, or what we make them to be. Is that how you resonate with that phrase, Panamati?
I mean, certainly one of the ways, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of keeping it to that, really. Later on in the sutta, it talks about not clinging, unsustained, not clinging to anything in the world. There's that same idea of not needing things to be in a particular way, but just being open to what they are and letting them kind of arise and fall away and arise and fall away. So I'll read that those bits that I read before. Again. There is the case where a monk remains focused on the body in and of itself, ardent, alert, and mindful. putting aside greed and distress with reference to the world. He remains focused on feelings, minds, mental qualities in and of themselves, ardent, alert, and mindful. Putting aside greed and distress with reference to the world. And how does a monk remain focused on the body in and of itself? There is the case where a monk, having gone to the wilderness, to the shade of a tree or to an empty building, sits down, folding his legs crosswise, holding his body erect and setting mindfulness to the fore. Always mindful, he breathes in, mindfully breathes out. Breathing in long, he discerns, I am breathing in long. Or breathing out long, he discerns, I am breathing out long. He trains himself, I will breathe in sensitive to the entire body. He trains himself, I will breathe out sensitive to the entire body. He trains himself, I will breathe in calming bodily fabrication. He will breathe out calming bodily fabrication. In this way, he remains focused internally on the body in and of itself, or externally on the body in and of itself. He remains focused on the phenomenon of origination with regard to the body, on the phenomenon of passing away with regard to the body, or on the phenomenon of origination and passing away with regard to the body. This is how a monk remains focused on the body in and of itself. Okay.